All right, let's go into the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. Luke chapter 13. I think you should drop it further. All right, I think you should drop it further. Just on these two monitors here, yeah. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 to verse 17 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10 to 17, New King James Version. It says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, I need you to pay attention, all right, to this verse of scripture. We're going to be here for quite a while. It says, and behold, verse 11 now. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up." I need you to start paying attention right now. Verse 11 is telling us that there was a woman, a spiritual experience is causing a physical effect. There was a spirit of infirmity, and the effect in the physical is that she was bent over and she could not raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to walk. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." He had no issues with the fact that a person had been afflicted for 18 years and he was incapacitated to solve the problem. Yet when somebody else solved the problem, all he could do was critique. See, I tell people this all the time. And now this is not my message. See, if it is not your assignment, if you don't work for the census board, and you take on the assignment of a critic, a lot of times, the critics are people who can't do nothing. So I don't have issues with you if you're in the, you know, ministry of critiquing. Or, you know, some people will sit down and listen to another person's message. You take another person's work, and all you could do is look for holes, look for what is wrong. Listen, that is the job of people who don't have something else to do. It's not a sign of intelligence. It does not mean you know better. It means you have nothing to do. As a matter of fact, when you check posts sometimes on social media, they don't even comment on your post until they see that you have a following, until they see that many people are responding positively to what you have posted. Then to get just some 5 seconds of fame or limelight, they come and they begin to raise dust. Think about it. A person is afflicted. See, let me say this to you as a pastor. I don't take criticism from you if you are not doing what I'm doing. If you're not pastoring people, you are not doing anything to deliver people. You are not doing anything to shift people from where they are to where they are supposed to be. I'm not going to listen to whatever you have to say. See, because you don't understand what you are talking about. I did not say I won't take criticism. I didn't say I won't take correction. But I'm only going to take correction from somebody who is doing something. You've got to be building. Because only people who build knows what it feels like to build. Amen. I just said I should give you that one free of charge. So the guy spoke with indignation. Okay, you want to be healed? Come and healed on the Sabbath. Question, sir, what if you are not around? I mean, what if he's not around? Because for 18 years you were here on the Sabbath, he was not here. Whether Sabbath or no Sabbath, nobody got healed. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor for me, wherever you are, type it in the comment section. Tell the person, don't be distracted by the chatter. Don't be distracted by the chatter. That's a word of in season for somebody watching or listening to me, wherever you are. Don't be distracted by the chatter. A lot of people who have nothing to do want to. A lot of people who have an evil agenda. They look on the work that the church is doing and they feel they have the right to critique or to find holes. We never said we were perfect. We're just passionate about serving God. And we learn and we move on and we learn and we move on. But if you are not one of us, if you are not building with us, you have no right to critique whatever it is that we are doing. Hallelujah. In this family, we don't expose our dirty linen outside. Anybody that takes the church business onto social media was not one of us in the first. I don't know what I'm talking about or why I'm talking about this morning. That's not my message. But we've got to wake up. The children of God have just got to wake up. We are the only ones that stab our wounded soldiers. We are the only one that look at people who are falling and then we think we can just, you know, some people are even, as a matter of fact, they scroll past until they see scandal. And then the one that comes from the church is the one they, in fact, they even cook up, you see, because the moment you say it's a pastor, say the girl was raped, see, she was raped by a pastor. As a matter of fact, by the time you read this story, The person they called pastor is one self-acclaimed, is the one that called himself, is the one that named himself. As a matter of fact, he himself is sure that he's not a pastor. Hallelujah. Say, come and be healed on any other day but the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. So you see, the ruler of the synagogue was just the one that was mounted, like you say it around here. There were other people who didn't care about this woman, who just cared about the fact that, why are you doing it on the Sabbath? But the Bible said, when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And I declare concerning you in the name of Jesus, this year 2020, your adversaries will be put to shame in the name of Jesus. The wisdom of God will find expression in you and through you so much that the work of your hands will not be faulted in the name of Jesus. They will look for holes to pick and they will not find in the name of Jesus, because the excellence that flows out of God begins to find expression in you in Jesus' name. I declare your adversaries silenced in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It says, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I'm going to start this morning by just looking at three things in the time that I have left. Three powerful lessons that I learned from this passage of scripture. And the first one is this: God cares about you. So I'm looking at Jesus in this story, and the first thing that dawns on me, look, I serve a God who cares. The Bible said Jesus was there teaching. The moment he saw the woman, in other words, if he saw her 15 years ago, he would have done something about it. If he saw her 4 years ago, he would have done something about it. If he saw her any moment before the moment he saw her, it would, see, because he didn't interview her. He didn't say, woman, why are you bent? Come, what's your name? Where are you from? He just said, woman, come. You're loosed from your infirmity. And the Bible says he placed his hands on her. Hallelujah. Because we serve a God who cares. We're laying a foundation for divine healing and divine health. And the first thing you need to understand is that God cares about you. God wants the best for you. Let me show you another verse of scripture. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. The Bible says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. Now, this is very instructive. You see, because in the New International Version, it says in verse 41 that Jesus was indignant. But if you look in the Amplified, in the New Living Translation, and some other translations, you will see how that they will say that, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Okay? And Jesus was moved with compassion. But NIV says that Jesus was indignant. So what does it mean to be indignant? It means it's a feeling or showing anger because of something unjust. Indignation is a feeling or a demonstration of anger because of something unjust. So when the guy said to Jesus, now you need to understand the reason why other translations said he was moved with compassion, NIV is helping us to understand exactly how he demonstrated the compassion. You see, it was not just like, oh, I care, oh, I'm going to do something about it. It's that I am angry that you are in this condition in the first place. He says, if you are willing, you can make me. Jesus said, what are you saying? If I am willing, I care about you. Look at what the Bible says. Read on. Okay, Mark chapter 1, all right. It says, Jesus was indignant. The Bible said, he reached out his hand and touched him. You need to understand, he didn't say anything. The first thing he did was to touch the man. This man was a leper. Are you getting this? Leprosy is contagious. Before Jesus delivered him, Jesus demonstrated his love for him. I'm not sure you got that. If you are willing, you can help me. Jesus said, what do you mean if I am willing? So Jesus touched him. And Jesus said what? Be clean. I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. But before he said it, he touched him. You need to realize you serve a God who wants to touch you. You serve a God who wants to step into whatever you are dealing with. You serve a God who cares absolutely about you. The Bible says in verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. If he met Jesus 4 years before then, immediately the leprosy would have left him. If he got met Jesus before he got leprosy, leprosy would not have jumped on him in the first place. Hallelujah. Let me help somebody else. Because some of us Christians, when we talk about healing, you feel like it's not your concern, because when you look at your life very well, you don't see sickness. And please, you need to understand, the reason why a lot of believers don't fall sick is because, you see, there is divine health. It is greater than divine healing. If you fall sick, it will heal you. But there's something about the life of God within you that does not even allow sickness to come in the first place. So the moment Jesus will see them, say, look, I'm willing. I care about you. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Let's run because of time. It's going to be a Sunday morning Bible study this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. Which one of you, or which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? That's the key word. Every time you want to imagine God's disposition towards your health, God's disposition towards your healing, God's disposition towards your life in general, it says when you look at yourself and how that sometimes with your children, you can't just help yourself. Every parent understands what I'm talking about. You just can't help yourself. Listen, you just don't give your child what the child asks for. You care for the child. Are you getting this? In other words, some of us sometimes, when we ask God for stuff, it doesn't just respond to us because we asked. It responds to us like a father does. Anytime you want to imagine how God is going to respond to you, he says, how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? All of these scriptures are instructive, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to them one after the other. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So when I ask, I should not expect to receive like I will receive from an earthly father. I should add what to it? How much more? Ephesians 3:20 now makes a lot of sense. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above what we ask or imagine. How much more? Lord, I want health. How much more? Lord, I need healing. How much more? Lord, I need food on my table. How much more? Lord, I need a job. How much more? Lord, I need peace of mind. How much more? It's not that he will do it. It's a question of how much more. Think of what a good father can do and then multiply that. How much more? So you've got to settle it in your mind. God cares about me. I'm not a face in the crowd. I'm not just one of the masses. Listen, you are not one of the multitude to God. The Bible says even the very hair on your head is numbered. It's not counted, numbered. They are two different things. It's not that God looks at you and says, oh, 1.5 million strands of hair. No, no, no. God says, if you go to the barber and they cut, I know the particular strand that falls off. I'm so particular about every detail of your life. The Bible says that we are inscribed on the palm of his hands. The translation says we are tattooed. I'm not sure you understand. We are so a part of him. The Bible calls us the apple of his eyes. In other words, for you to get to me, you have to get to God. All you need to do is, anytime something wants to get into your eyes, have you noticed that your eyelids don't take permission from you to shut? God says, when it's time to protect you, I don't need to consult you. It's not about the prayers you've been praying. It's not about the fact that you've been fasting. When it's time to protect you, I don't ask anybody. I protect you. You are the apple of my eyes. To get you is to get me. You are that important to me. Hallelujah. It says to us in Matthew chapter 6, it says, look at the flowers. Look at how beautiful they are. He says, it's your father that what? That clothes them. And even Solomon in all his wisdom was not arrayed like one of these. And says, yet you are more valuable. He says, look at the birds of the air. Now he says, they do not labor. Oh, because most of us, we think what we receive and what we eat is a function of labor. He says, but they don't labor. This is what I'm trying to say. Some of us, when we pray and we ask stuff from God, we look at how we have been working. I've been fasting. I've been praying. I've been diligent at work. God, you should give me this thing I am asking. But the Bible says, look at the birds of the air. They do not spin. They do not labor. They do nothing. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are more important to him than them. When you want to know how important you are, check how God is particular about things that are not important. Flowers, birds, hallelujah. So somebody said with me this morning, God cares about me. Jesus got into that meeting that day. He saw the woman. Listen, we are not going to debate this issue. The conversation begins after your healing. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. I don't want to know. See, sometimes we ask questions a lot. Maybe she doesn't have a child because of something she did when she was a teenager. Maybe he doesn't have a job because Jesus said, no, I don't talk about anything. I care about you. I'm going to fix this situation. I'm going to fix this circumstance. I care about you. That's the first lesson I learned, that God cares about me. And this is the second one. You have no business with sickness. Second lesson I learned from this passage, you have no business with sickness. Why? Your health is guaranteed by covenant. Your health is guaranteed by covenant. God has committed himself by covenant to heal you and to sustain you. Jesus said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she ought not to be sick. And she has been sick. Think about it. Like my brothers, Yorubas, would say, ewo now. And you are saying I should not do something about it. 18 years of what should... Listen, anybody that works closely with me knows one of the things that gets me worked up the most are things that happen that should not happen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Imagine as I'm preaching right now and I'm sweating and in my mind I'm being a blessing to the world. Imagine if there's somebody on the sound console over there who is supposed to press a button and the person did not press it. And everything I'm saying, they can't hear me out there. Okay? And people who can't hear me, they are typing in the comment section, volume is low, we can't hear you, and there's somebody in the media unit is not checking for feedback. After those kind of meetings, I feel like killing somebody. Because listen, this thing that has happened should not happen. Jesus said, there is a covenant that guarantees that this woman should not have been sick for one day. She's been sick for 18 years. And then you say we shouldn't do something about it. Hallelujah. You have no business with sickness. I'll give you three reasons why. Number one, because you are a seed of Abraham. So you are entitled to the blessing through the sacrifice of Jesus. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed the cross of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed be every man that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us, the Gentiles, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit. So the same blessing that was on Abraham is the same blessing that is on us. And we see that blessing manifest in the life of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. By the time they left, the Bible says they left in abundance. God was the one sustaining them. The Bible said there was not one feeble person amongst their tribes because they carried the blessing of Abraham. The Bible now says to you in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and everything Abraham got is your inheritance. Hallelujah. When there was the Passover in the land of Egypt, it says that belongs to you too. When any evil is coming around your environment, it has to pass over because the blessing is upon you. Hallelujah, because the blessing. So when we invoke Psalm 91, you need to understand we are not invoking it only from an Old Testament perspective. We are invoking it because we understand that that covenant of Abraham was the same covenant that was reviewed in Christ and ratified. And then it shifted us to another level. So it has to pass over. COVID-19 does not have a choice. It has to pass over. I'm not one of them that say it does not exist. It is real. But as real as it is, it has to what? Jump and pass. Are you listening to me? It has to what? It has to jump and pass. Because I am a seed of Abraham, because I belong to Christ. Let me give you a second reason so that you understand. The reason why we are so vehement about this is because the same sacrifice that paid for your sin paid for your sickness. The same sacrifice. Okay? The same sacrifice. It's like getting on a flight and then you are wondering whether you will be saved. Do you understand? See, for you to be admitted into the flight, you are going to be saved. Because the same time you paid for tickets, you paid for entertainment. You understand what I'm talking about? The same sacrifice that paid for your sin, paid for your sickness. Let's look at some scriptures this morning. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. I'm going to read it from the classic edition of the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 to 5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. And I like the Amplified Bible because it helps us to understand. Surely, as I'm preaching and sharing the word of God this morning, you are going to see the things you have to drop from your life. It says, surely he has borne your griefs. Okay, the Amplified says, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. You have no business with them. Sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Okay, now listen to this. The first one is talking about emotional pain. When he talks about sicknesses, weaknesses, distresses, by the time he's talking about, that's physical sickness, physical pain. By the time he gets to, he carried our sorrows and our pains, he's talking about emotional. Okay, he says, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Did you notice that even in paying the price, he paid for sickness first before he paid for sin? Because a lot of people don't struggle with the fact that their sins are forgiven. But yet they don't accept, or they find it difficult to accept, that their healing is secured. He paid first for sickness. Hallelujah. Because it was when he shed his blood that we got remission of sins. Okay? We got healing when he was scorched before he was even taken to Golgotha. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible says. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisements needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. He got the stripes before he shed his blood. But this thing was, in the same time, the same process, the same sacrifice that paid for your sin, paid for your sickness. If your sins are forgiven, your sickness is healed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Still the same classic amplified, classic edition of the Amplified Bible. It says, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar and offered himself on it that we might die, that he ceased to exist, to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Not that you are going to be healed. So even if you are feeling pain in your body right now, you need to understand that that pain is the liar. You are healed. Hallelujah. You are healed. That's what the Bible says. You are healed. And the Bible says scripture cannot be broken. Let every man be a liar and God be true. You are healed. Would you say it one more time this morning? I am healed. Come on. Type it wherever you ask. Put it in the comments. I am healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed. So this is what we are saying. You see, sickness is a product of sin. Okay? Sickness is a product of sin. Therefore, where sin is forgiven, healing is guaranteed. Did you get that? Sickness came out of sin. So the moment sin is dealt with, sickness is dealt with. Hallelujah. Sickness is a product of sin. Therefore, where sin is forgiven, healing is guaranteed. Let's look at scripture this morning. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. It says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. Verse 2 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3 now tells us the benefits. And I'm just going to stop at verse 3. It says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. It's the same thing. Are we getting this? It's the same. See, as far as God is concerned, it's the same exercise. As I forgive your sins, I have healed you. Because your sickness came out of what? Out of your sin. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Let's look at another verse of scripture. James chapter 5 and verse 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14 to 16. Is anyone among you sick? Okay. Because somebody is saying, Pastor, you said I'm healed, but I'm feeling something. So the Bible is very practical. Look at what the Bible says. Anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Look at what the Bible is saying. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. What did we pray about? Hello? So because somebody is feeling sick right now, and you're saying, finally, all the evil I've been doing. And some of those evil, when you come to pastor, you are just shaking. I say, what's wrong with you? I say, I'm strong. I don't even know. I have used everything. I'm not sure you're getting this. You are feeling symptoms of sickness. But the devil is accusing you at the back of your mind that this sickness has come upon you because of all the evil you have done. So pastor too is praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of infirmity. And pastor prays and releases the prayer of faith for the sickness. The Bible says the person will be made well. That sin that we did not talk about, God says, I will take care of it. Because it's the same package. Now look at what the Bible says. In case we are not talking about sickness, amen, and we are just talking about sin, look at what the Bible says. Next verse. Verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I.D. That if you did something bad and you come to Pishegs, you know, Pishegs, I did this thing, and the two of us, you repent And we agree together, Father, your son, you know, he has repented of this evil. Forgive him, Father, in the name of Jesus. That even if you did not know that the pain you've been feeling is sickness, you just didn't know. You know, because sometimes if you have really done something bad, you are preoccupied with it. Says, God says, what we are talking about is sin. But as we pray that prayer, you will be healed. Are we getting this? So let's look at it in operation. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I'm showing you these scriptures to let you understand how that the same price that paid for sin paid for sickness. As far as heaven is concerned, when we took care of sin, we took care of sickness. So people whose sins are forgiven have no business with sickness. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I hope we'll get into this next week, okay? Because we're now going to be talking about streams of healing. Okay, and there's the stream of the anointing, there's the healing anointing, then there's the stream of the word. And there are times when a meeting is going on and God's power is present for the purpose of healing the sick. We don't have to preach about healing. We don't have to teach about healing. There's an anointing for healing the sick. If you are sensitive and you plug into it, you will receive your healing. And that there are people who are anointed to heal the sick, that they don't even have to be on the pulpit. They carry that healing anointing. And wherever they are, if they lay their hands on the sick will recover because God is present with them to heal. That's the situation here. The anointing was with Jesus to heal. Okay? Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Because as far as heaven is concerned, it's the same thing. When you say your sins are forgiven, healing power goes into operation. When you say, get up and walk, if there is sin, it is forgiven. Because the same price, are we getting this? The same price that paid for sin, paid for sickness. Verse 24 says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Hallelujah. Went home praising God. Let's wrap it up this morning. We're going to continue next week. The thought that I saw in this verse of scripture is that covenant benefits are activated by the demand of faith. Covenant benefits are activated by the demand of faith. Now, when we get to heaven, we may be able to ask God, "God, why don't you just see my predicament and do something about it without me asking?" But I have come to find out that the release of faith on earth is the protocol that heaven responds to intervene. Are we getting this? And I looked into scripture and I saw something that baffled me. Follow me closely. The woman with the issue of blood, she made a demand of faith. Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, made a demand of faith. Blind Bartimaeus made a demand of faith. Okay? The Syrophoenician woman made a demand of faith. The Roman centurion, oh, that one blesses me a lot. Jesus said, "Let's go to your house." He said, "I'm unworthy for you to come under my roof." Say, "But I'm a man under authority. I tell this one, go." And he goes, "I tell that one, come." Say, "Look, you are greater than I am. If my word is that powerful, your word is too. Say the word only, and my servant will be healed." See, this is one thing all of them have in common. None of them was denied a demand of faith. None of them, I'm not sure you're getting this morning. None of them was, listen, Bartimaeus, when they brought him to Jesus, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" A lot of times you think, "I'm in this predicament because God does not care." God says, "No, you don't understand my protocol. You have to make a demand." Nobody who made a demand of faith, check in scripture, was denied. There was no reference of the son standing still until Joshua demanded for the son to stand still. Demand of faith. And we see Jesus practice the same principle. Jesus saw the woman. See, you know, Jesus would have, if it was me and you, would have been wondering for this thing to have been like this for 18 years, maybe it's the will of God. No, they don't bother. Jesus just said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Before I know you, before I ask about your... See, because sometimes the more we know about the situation, the less faith we can have in the situation. You are just familiar. Say, what are you dealing with? You mentioned the name. Say, my father had it. My great-grandfather had it. Say, somebody will now tell you, if God wanted to take it away from your lineage, he would have done it before you. People that were holier than you. People that were more righteous than you. No. You make a demand of faith. I mean, Jesus said to Mary, my time has not yet come. She ignored him. Servants, whatever he tells you to do, do. I'm not taking no for an answer. Hallelujah. I'm not taking no for an answer. I came this morning, and this is where we're going to round it up this morning. Can we all make a demand of faith this morning? Wherever you are watching, I want you to make a demand of faith. They may have told you that asthma runs in your family, high blood pressure runs in your family. I want you to make a demand of faith. Come on, you can rise up wherever you are this morning, okay? And lift your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I make a demand of faith concerning my health and I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Come on, declare it. Declare it in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure is not my portion. Arthritis is not my portion. In the name of Jesus, I make a demand by faith. I receive my healing. I receive my health, for you were wounded for my transgression, you were bruised for iniquity, the punishment that brought me peace was laid on you, by your stripes I was healed. If I was, I am. Come on now. If I was, I am, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, make a demand this morning. Over your children, make a demand. In the name of Jesus, medical science may not be able to help, but we serve a God who can do all things. The Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. So make a demand by faith. In the name of Jesus, make a demand and ask for creative miracles. In the name of Jesus, Father, let body organs grow. Let tissues grow. Let muscles grow. In the name of Jesus, let weak organs receive strength. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall drive out demons. They will place their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I release the healing anointing over you and your family, wherever you are, and I speak healing to you. Pain, I command you to loose your hold in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every disease of the blood. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. I rebuke COVID-19. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. You may have a family member or somebody you know in an isolation center right now. I declare healing and health over them in the name of Jesus. I declare total recovery concerning them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Oh, every pain in the ear, you go in the name of Jesus. Headaches, go in the name of Jesus. Abdominal challenges, you go in the name of Jesus. I declare that urinary tract infection completely healed in the name of Jesus. You are growing old does not mean that you should fall sick. I declare as you grow old, you grow in strength in the name of Jesus. Over our parents, I declare you're going nowhere before your time in the name of Jesus. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. You will continue to spread the gospel and continue to be a blessing to the world in the name of Jesus. I rebuke untimely death in Jesus' name. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Sickness is calculated to lead to death. So we rebuke sickness and we speak total healing over you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Almighty. We thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. Throughout this month, long-standing issues are resolved in Jesus' name. Long-standing health challenges are resolved this month in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Almighty. We thank you, Father. We thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Don't go away. Announcements will follow right now.